Just when you thought it was the last dance, more dancing. Sarah Spain, Mina Kimes, Israel Gutierrez. Let's go around the hole. So Horace Grant says it's lies, 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 that he was the loose lips sinking ships, talking about Jordan behind his back, enforcing the Jordan rules. He also called The Last Dance a so-called documentary, and said they could settle this like men, which, again, to me means there's going to be a dance-off of some kind, more dancing for The Last Dance. Yeah. Scottie Pippen, per our Jackie McMullen, also reported to be upset. Sarah, these are your heroes. These are old grudges. Do Horace and Scotty have the right to be upset here? And is it possible, within the realm of possibility, MJ could see this as an attack on him?
I appreciate that we're still talking about this. I am often the last person off the dance floor, so this feels
appropriate. Yes, that does not surprise.
Yeah, of course. Horace Grant and MJ often came to blows. These two guys did not necessarily agree when they were teammates. So why decades later would they suddenly say, yes, everything he said was right and what he said was right? And Pip is in a really tough position of having supported MJ throughout, but feeling like maybe the documentary didn't paint him in the best light. And part of that is the things that he said himself in the documentary. I think that all of these are the reality and the truth for the people who are saying them. And I don't think it's a so-called documentary because we get to hear MJ's side of it. Maybe Horace would like to hear more of the other sides, but his take that he was not the snitch is in the documentary. You could choose to believe who you want. And absolutely, these are grudges. And of course, MJ has invented things that people never even said to get fired up for a game. So if you don't think that this is going to cause him a little consternation, then you're crazy.
Israel Gutierrez, where are you with this?
Well, here's the confusing part about this for me. So the reaction to that book from the Bulls was basically a little bit of anger and frustration about how they were painted, maybe a team that didn't seem like it was able to win. You know, there was a lot of internal fighting, et cetera, et cetera. It was a typical, frankly, sort of rags-to-riches championship parade book. And yet here we have, and he went on to win two more titles together. Why you would sort of let that linger doesn't really make any sense, right? And then, you know, you talk about this documentary. This is exactly what Michael Jordan's doing. He's spilling the tea about everybody else. He just happens to be doing it after, you know, the championship runs happen. So I don't really get why he's, you know, I get it. He's the goat of grudges. But for him to actually still hang on to this one when he's essentially doing worse doesn't make any sense to me.
Mina Kimes?
I think Horace is right. I mean, we got Michael Jordan's side, and that's where this gets complicated, because are we looking at the documentary as a neutral text, or are we looking at it as a stand-in for Jordan's opinion? Clearly, his teammates view it as a stand-in for Jordan, and that's why I think Pippen's reticence, his silence, is so fascinating. I don't think he was villainized by the series, by the way. You know, the sympathetic portrayal of his biography and pay early on kind of colored the rest for me, but some choices were made that he is understandably upset about. The fact there's so much focus on him not taking the shot versus his incredible trash-talking moment in the 97 finals where he, you know, helped Jordan out that wasn't shown. The way Jordan himself talked about that final game, as though Pippen's back injury was an impediment to him and not something that Pippen himself overcame. I think we're getting some insight through his silence and sort of that dynamic into Jordan's role as a teammate. To me, that is more damning than the trash talk.
Let me dig in just a little deeper here, Sarah. I mean, we have, more than any documentary, we have almost an omniscient narrator here, Michael Jordan. But are you questioning how omniscient he really was, all-knowing he really was? I mean, we have pizza guys now as an aggrieved party saying, I poisoned nothing. I made it. I delivered it. There was no poison.
I think people's memories plus time plus their own biases affect how they remember things. I don't think anyone is lying, like outright making things up. Randy Brown told us it was a seafood pizza. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like a clam pizza or anchovies, that could be bad. And then now they're saying double pepperoni. Now they're saying five guys, two guys. So to me, it feels like I don't think anyone's flat out lying and making things up. I think he got food poisoned. No one poisoned him. And everybody saw it a little different.
Can I say this as somebody who's ordered sushi at the Pittsburgh airport? Seafood pizza in Utah? Landlocked Utah?
Yeah,
maybe not the way I would go. Israel Gutierrez, the last word, because I know you want in on pizza.
Yeah, I mean, there were details there that the delivery man mentioned that Michael didn't mention, but he tried to sort of imply that maybe he got a cold from, like, being in a tank top in cold winter, in cold night of Utah with the window open, or perhaps from drinking too much. None of that seems possible. I think MJ could drink every drink in the hotel and still be okay the next day. I'm there. I just randomly got food poisoning.
None of that seems possible. None of this seems possible that we're on day whatever of a 10-part documentary and we still have questions after it's over. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Let's move on. I want to talk baseball now. The restart proposal. The movement on this is glacial. I mean, a week and a half ago, we thought maybe players might be getting ready to vote. Nothing has happened. Still no vote. Tom Glavine was talking to the AGC this week, said, if there's no season, the players are going to be the one to be blamed. Now, I think he's processing a little bit what he went through in 94. But do you see it that way, Israel Gutierrez?
See, I think that there are plenty of people ready to pounce if everything seems right and it's the players holding up, you know, getting their sports back. And if there's any sort of hint that it's a financial issue, then people are ready to attack. Why? Because owners actually have something to lose this time, whereas in other times you could argue they really don't. And so, you know, even in those times, they are on the side of the owners. And this time they would gladly do the same thing. But the idea, you're putting a price. Basically what Tom Glavine says, just don't talk about your money. That's it. It can actually be a financial situation. Just don't talk about it in public.
And Mina, with billionaires versus millionaires, in this case, would the players be the ones to be blamed?
It's always the case, Tony. Glavin's absolutely right. People look at these things through the lens of their own experience. It's much easier to ask, why wouldn't he play for millions, than it is to ask, why didn't they cut them a fair deal? Now, I do think the lesson of the strike is not that, oh, people are going to be mad at the players, so they should go along with it. It's that this is bad for baseball, and that's something the owners can understand. Even if they're not villainized, they need baseball to bounce back.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Spain?
Most people believe that the owners are the ones who are most publicly airing these things out because they know that the players will be the ones that are most hit by this. When there isn't a pandemic and the baseball revenue is soaring, people still blame players when it comes to money because, again, they don't have this concept of what billions are, and they're never going to side with the million-dollar guy who gets to play the game they wish they could. Yeah. They're always siding with owners. So in a pandemic, when the owners actually have something to lose, they're going to doubly so do that, and I think it's incredibly unfair considering the risks
Real
the players
quick,
have to take.
Do you guys feel the same way about NBA players, NFL players, NHL players, WNBA players, every other players in the sport? Are they the ones to be blamed as well? Maybe these are different issues for sport because we have those emails in the New York Post we're talking about where the union maybe heard about this beforehand. I don't know what to make of that. We've been horned. We're going to take a break right here coming up, buy or sell. Doug Peterson has listed his depth chart and Jalen Hurts is in QB1 or QB2. What that means next. Taysom Hill on steroids was how the Eagles, a source from the Eagles, described their plan for Jalen Hurts after he was drafted in the second round. However, Doug Peterson said yesterday, Nate Sudfeld will start the year as Carson Wentz's backup. Hurts will be number three. That he's been doing well, but the pandemic is going to make all teams lean towards veterans. Mina, how do you hear Peterson? And what do you think the model should be here for Hurts? Taysom Hill or backup like Lamar Jackson or something different?
Yeah, well, hopefully not Taysom Hill on steroids, and we know who to blame if he gets drug tested. I think I would be more surprised, actually, if Peterson said Jalen Hurts is our backup right now, to be honest, because it's very rare for quarterbacks taking the later rounds to back up immediately, especially given what's happening right now with the pandemic. I think they should use him like Taysom Hill, use him as a rusher to give defenses unconventional looks, occasionally surprise them as a passer, all the while developing him as a traditional quarterback on the side.
Israel Gutierrez?
I think we should always sort of end these Lamar Jackson comparisons when we first, like, especially if it's not a first-round pick, not a because Lamar Jackson's just special. Okay, Jalen Hurts is not going to be on the Lamar Jackson tier, but Taysom Hill, I mean, he and Taysom Hill had the exact same yards per rush average in college, and, you know, Jalen Hurts is probably, at least
stats.
In college, showed like he's a little bit of a better passer. So I think Jalen Hurts, if there's a place for Taysom Hill, and according to the Saints, there will be a starting quarterback place for him, then I think eventually there will be a starting quarterback place for Jalen Hurts. He's at least just as good.
Do you think that'll be in Philadelphia, Israel?
I mean, probably not. Not if Carson Wentz ends up staying healthy and shows off, you know, what he actually can do for 2 or 3 years. I think eventually it'll have to be somewhere else.
What do you buy? What do you sell?
I'm buying all this. That makes sense, right? Because Taysom Hill, who, if he becomes the Taysom Hill on steroids, also isn't the number two quarterback. He's the gadget one, which I think is what Jalen Hurts would be, right? Of course he's not ready when they haven't been able to work out together, and Sudfeld has been there for a couple of years. Of course he's not the number two yet. And for now, if they do want to involve him, even if he's not ready to be a quarterback, then using him as that gadget guy is the way to go.
Mina, I have to give you another point. You said this weeks ago that the pandemic would affect how teams, you know, depth chart their teams and go with veterans. And that's exactly what Peterson said. What that means now for someone like Burrow or Tua is very interesting. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, 3-on-3 hockey coming summer 2021. The league is called Thrice. That's a 3-ice. Coaches will be Guy Carboneau, Grant Fuhr, Ed Johnson, John LeClair, Joe Mullen, Larry Murphy, Angela Ruggiero, Brian Trottier. 6 Hall of Famers in that list, by the way. Israel, buy or sell Thrice.
I mean, I'm going to buy it. Look, one thing I've learned from watching NHL, it seems like the fewer people on the ice, the more exciting it is. So if you just drop one more out of there, make it 3-on-3, I'm with it. But the name, is absolutely perfect.
Oh, you
Tony
like the
Thrice. They should just do it just for the name.
All right, Mina Kimes.
The name is perfect, but it's also the name of a screamo band, so there might be some legal issues with Thrice. 3-on-3 hockey is super fun. It's super exciting. I like the format, what they're doing with these local tournaments and quick games so that fans can kind of make a day out of it. I don't think it's going to be huge, but I think it could be entertaining for hockey fans.
Sarah Spain.
I like the idea of tournaments, but I almost like the idea of just one. I feel like this will keep our attention for just the one. We've seen it in overtimes. We've seen it in other kind of shticks, and it's been entertaining. I just don't know if a whole league will be necessary and will be needed by the fans. I do like the fact that, like in the Big Three and in Thrice, we are seeing women as head coaches of the men's teams, and they are thriving when it comes to the Big Three.
Israel, you chickened out. You said before we went on air here, this Thrice reminded you of something from a sitcom.
I didn't know if we would have time.
It is a classic.
It reminds me.
Always time.
It reminds me of a classic episode of The Golden Girls in which Betty White's character was singing a song. Yes, I watched The Golden Girls. And she said, Miami is nice, so I'll say it thrice. And it just stuck
with me. All right, that's the way to my heart. Thank you for being a friend, Israel Gutierrez. Take some more points here. Here we go. Picture it. Showdown. 2020. Sarah Spain and Israel Gutierrez. Mita Kimes, wave goodbye. We've got a tie, but I'm going to give Spain the extra point, as I just said. And we're going to go to showdown. Let's just go to break. Come on. World Series ring ceremony for the Washington Nationals will be a Zoomer this Sunday. Quote, we could not be more excited, end quote, owner Mark Lerner. Is a virtual ring ceremony a we could not be more excited moment fitting for a real champion, Israel?
I mean, it is currently, because anything will get people excited these days. But look, I just think the normal ring ceremonies, you get your ring, the players get ready for a game. In this situation, you might get to learn a little bit more about that player, see more about their life. I think this is way better than normal ring
Sarah
ceremonies.
Spain.
They better have a real one after this. This is fine. Like Izzy said, anything is exciting right now, but this can't be it. You better have the real thing when we get back to action. Mm-hmm.
Well, if Izzy was right, then Izzy gets the point, Sarah Spain. You know that. Mm-hmm. Showdown 2. Let's go. Alex Bregman dropping his agency because they're directing a documentary that the Houston Astros cheated. The Astros cheating scandal, part of Clutch Sports' documentary game. Legit reason for divorce, Sarah, and who wronged who?
Well, technically, it's not Clutch. It's another arm of a different LeBron company, so they're not even that connected. But I still think that Bregman can be totally in the right here if he feels comfortable going somewhere else. Too close for comfort.
Mm-hmm. Tony, if you and I shared the same agent, and I thought he had my best interest in mind, but you were writing a book that delegitimized all University of Florida graduates, I'd be upset about that because my agent is supporting you as well. So I think Bregman completely is in the right here.
I represent myself, Israel Gutierrez. Sarah Spain, point to you. Showdown 3. XFL bankruptcy. There's a potential suitor to buy it, reportedly, and that suitor believed to be Vince McMahon. Daniel Kaplan wrote this up in The Athletic. I don't understand any of this. I go to you for my bankruptcy and my fool me once, fool me twice endeavors, Israel. Could the XFL rise again
It's a frustrating scam. When people find out about this, they'll probably get angry here. But no, I don't think they'll be able to come back. Partially because I think when regular sports come back, all the other pro sports, that's going to be enough for people. They're not going to need the extra XFL.
Let me see if I get this wrestling thing right. Like Vince McMahon's other endeavor, and like The Undertaker, the XFL cannot be killed. It will not stay dead. I do think it will return.
Point, Sarah Spain. 30 seconds of FaceTime, Sarah Spain.
I got a wrestling mention right. I want to give a shout out to a time-honored prank in which nobody gets hurt and everyone gets a laugh no matter how many times it's done and where. The Mississippi governor was reading out the names of proud graduates and someone slipped in Harry Asscrack. And everybody gets a laugh. And the governor himself acknowledged it later and said, maybe later I'll give a shout out to Ben, the pride of the Dover family. So he was in on it too. And I'm here for this every time.
Yeah.
That wasn't his name.
Today's winner. That wasn't his name. I don't think so. 23 hours, 40 minute break. Sports Center. Come on, reality, right now. No look. Help me out here. Get down.